Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I almost forgot yesterday after the show, I said, hey, what are we going to talk about on Wednesday's Montana Talks? And then I looked at my calendar, it's like, hey, that's right. We got Montana's Eastern District Congressman Troy Downing in the house. So we're doing like a Montana town hall meeting here on this Wednesday. But what do you want to talk about? What do you think we should talk about? You can jump in on the conversation. Congressman Downing, great to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me here. You know, Heather and I always love coming to visit you. So for those who can't see, my bride is sitting next to me.
It's good to see you, but much better to see Heather.
You know, I get that a lot. Yeah, she's a little easier to look at.
Maybe we should just ignore you and we'll just interview Heather. Okay, tell us what Troy's really been up to back in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely, I'm ready for it.
Why don't you start? Why don't you kick off the show here, Heather? Tell us what all has been going on back in Washington, D.C.
It's been nonstop.
I was going to say, really? I was telling Troy, it's so hard to stay up on the news out of Washington, D.C., because so much is happening. President Trump is doing so much. And then, of course, we got the legislature going on. So but even being in the middle of it, it's hard to stay on top of everything that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it really, coming in as a freshman, you don't really realize how much happens, what's behind the scenes. And it is so much. Had a lot of really amazing events. He's been working so hard. I mean, there's been days where he's up at 5:30, and there was one day he didn't get home until after midnight. He was working on the Financial Services Committee, and Maxine Waters kept him there.
Yeah,
after midnight. I hate to say that, but that is the truth.
14 hours in committee. That was a long day.
Troy, this is no way to treat an Air Force veteran. You're working Army hours.
Oh, boy, yeah. Getting up at 0:30 and getting home at, exactly.
Yeah.
And we had the First Ladies Luncheon. That was amazing. Had a nice group out there, and that was, there's been a lot of really incredible things that I've been able to take place in, and just it's been really an incredible experience.
And Heather's underselling herself on that. She had a bunch of Montanans out to have a luncheon with Melania and put together a whole D.C. tour, did a Capitol tour, did this bus tour around the cat. It was very well received, but it was really cool to have Heather grab the bull by the horns and bring out all these Montanans to go have lunch with the First Lady and to see the Capitol up close and personal.
That's very cool. What a class act Melania Trump is, too. I saw her and President Trump doing the Easter celebration at the White House. They were both sitting at tables, just coloring with kids, just being normal grandmas and grandpas, just being normal everyday people. That was very cool to see. All right, well, we got to take a quick break here in just a second. But, Troy, you know, I was joking on the radio the other day. I said, you know, it used to be that legislators back in Montana would say, oh, man, Congress is a mess. The Republicans are just fighting each other. Now it's like, man, hey, Congress, man, the Republicans are getting along, moving things along. It's like a totally different story.
Our conference in Congress is actually all rowing in the same direction. And I think what's mitigating that, what's driving that, is having Trump at the top of the ticket.
Yeah, the clear vision, bold leadership.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, what else happened in Washington, D.C.? We'll talk with Congressman Troy Downing right after this, and we're taking your calls as well, 294-0970.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What the heck? Let's start with Montana Coal, because I've got my Montana Coal up-top T-shirt on.
Looks
right
good
now.
On you.
Beautiful, clean coal.
Yeah, Trump said don't ever say coal without saying beautiful and clean before it.
Yeah. You know, this is something I've mentioned this on the radio show here, but we've got to highlight the significance of these latest actions by President Trump when it comes to coal, when it comes to Colstrip. And then, heck, another headline right in front of me right here. President Trump signing an executive order to expedite permitting of a mine in Lincoln County, Montana. We've got to make mining in America great again. But
Permitting reform is a huge part of that. I mean, there's so many. You look at these horror stories on how long it takes to get through the permitting process, which is slowing down everything. So, I mean, that's something that we're looking at pretty closely, is how we can reform the permitting requirements.
So President Trump has already basically made some big news when it comes to the MATS standards, which Joe Biden was using to try to to kill Colstrip.
That was specifically aimed at closing down Colstrip. And so the entire Montana delegation, we all signed a letter. So me, Senator Dayne, Senator Sheehy, and Congressman Zinke, basically in opposition to that MATS ruling. And it was just lifted, I think, within the last week or two. So that was a big win for Colstrip. It allows them to continue operating.
Yeah, and then the Spring Creek mine, they got their expansion plan approved by the Trump administration. There was another reversal by President Trump where Biden was trying to basically block leases on federal lands in Montana and Wyoming.
Right.
It's just victory after victory
after victory. And another thing that I've got in the hopper, I've got two bills basically for Signal Peak to make sure that they can continue doing. And one is just an extension of the rescinded permit that goes on for another 2 years, because they've got some federal sections that the permitting was taken away. So I've got a bill to reinstate that so they can continue what was already approved. And then longer term, I've got the Crow Revenue Act, which basically swaps out those federal sections with private trust sections, so a future administration can't rescind that ability to mine coal under federal lands again. So that's the long-term solution for that, because, as you know, as your listeners know, and that's hundreds of jobs. I mean, not just Musselshell County, that's Yellowstone County, and that's also revenue for the state that's incredibly meaningful. And so I was really happy to get those in the hopper, make sure that we're supporting mining in Montana.
Yeah, so this is the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup, north of Billings.
Yes.
The majority of their workforce actually lives in Yellowstone County. That's partly why Signal Peak Energy ponied up $6 million to build a new hockey arena.
Yeah, awesome.
Hockey's a big deal. I mean, you got people that will travel from Bozeman all the way up to northeast Montana just to find a sheet of ice.
And that's the thing that people need to understand. It's not just, and I mean, not to discount anything, it's not those almost 300 workers there. And those are high-paid, well-compensated workers, because they work long hours. It's a tough job, and that's meaningful to them and their families, and obviously they spend that money in the community, so it's important to the community. But these organizations, they're putting their money into the communities, and we've got the tax revenues, the coal truck, we got all this other stuff that is meaningful to the entire state, and it's not just those 300 workers, which are incredibly important. It's everything else that we're seeing from that. So I'm just really happy that we are changing the direction of a ship that was about to close all that down under the previous administration.
What's going on behind the scenes, or what are some of the big things that are moving through Congress or that President Trump is doing that's not getting the attention in most of the media or even just amongst, everyday Montanans?
Well, a lot of this is we've got all these CRAs, these Congressional Review Act bills that have been coming up, which really what those are aimed at is we can get those through with a simple majority vote. So it's filibuster proof, and it allows us to undo 11th hour regulations that the previous administration did. And so we're just getting a bunch of those through. We got our budget resolution passed in both the House and the Senate. So when we get back on Monday, we're starting on the reconciliation part. And I'll tell you, there's two things that are top of mind in the process that we're going to be going through over the next several weeks, is making sure that we renew the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, because, the tax burden, if that's allowed to expire, would be an average 26% increase to a Montanan and about a 43% increase for a small business in Montana. And we can't suffer that. I mean, it's not just that personal income that takes away from a family or for a wage earner. It's really about being able to live that American dream, is having that cash out there in the community rather than paying for government. And that's how you build an economy. That's how you build everything that we've come to enjoy and love in Montana. That's how you build your American dream. So that's part of it. And the other part is we've been spending ourselves into oblivion. And so making sure that we're getting reasonable cuts in spending there. And on the House side, we're looking at a $1.5 trillion reduction in spending, you know, over the next 10 years. And, you know, there's folks that thinks that that's too much. There's folks that think it's not enough. But I just want to put things into perspective, because the basically the federal government right now believes we are either misspending through fraud, waste, and abuse $500 billion a year right now. So that's, you know, half a trillion dollars just in what they're admitting is out there. So when you're talking about a $1.5 trillion cut over 10 years, and that's a drop in the bucket over all of the misspent, you know, fraudulent, wasted, you know, money out there. So I think we can hit that $1.5 trillion. I think we can exceed that. And one thing a lot of people don't understand is, you know, the technical part of this, that budget resolution is just the floor. So it gave numbers to each committee of jurisdiction on you have to find at least this much in savings. So like on the financial services.
You have to make permanent what DOGE is identifying in the short term here, because it's a $2 trillion deficit that Joe Biden handed off.
Oh, we'll get into the DOGE thing after the break, but I got to tell you, it's scary what that team is uncovering.
Yeah. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal quoted an NFIB report. Troy gave some of the numbers. Congressman Downing just gave some of the numbers. But yeah, 136,000 Montana small businesses would get a significant tax hike if the Trump tax cuts are not made permanent.
The Edition Clay Travis Buck Sexton Show will break down the absolute latest on all the drama surrounding the tariff wars. Plus, we'll be joined by Trump Cabinet Secretary Doug Burgum to break down what he is seeing from inside of the administration. All that and more. Make sure you don't miss it. Come hang with us on the Wednesday edition of Clay and Buck.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, we got the phone lines open for you. If you want to jump in on the conversation with Montana Congressman Troy Downing here with us for the full hour, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. In fact, I'm reminded I need to go double check those messages here as we get up and rolling. Congressman Downing, you know, We were kind of joking during the break about how, y'all, 2 years ago, it was like, man, those Republicans in D.C., they're just fighting each other. Now they're all rowing in the same direction. Back in Helena, though, there is some good news out of the state legislature in Helena. The income tax relief bill put together by Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr, it's now headed to Governor Gianforte's desk. And he told me that the governor will sign that bill into law. Not one Democrat in the state House voted for that income tax relief.
Really?
Only two in the state Senate voted for it. So hats off to Democrat Senator Morajot and Democrat Senator Jonathan Windyboy. They were the only two Democrats to support income tax
relief. So what is that? Why does the other side want to take more of your money? Why do they think that the government is better at spending it than you are? I just don't understand that philosophy.
Well, I mean, going back to the Trump tax cuts that you and I were discussing, I think you were state auditor at the time, and, you know, then Democrat Governor Steve Bullock opposed the Trump tax cuts because he said that it was going to cause this massive hole in state revenues, and it didn't.
Yeah.
It led to a Trump bump.
Well, the thing you got to look at, too, is, you know, you've got the income and expense, you know, you've got these two sides of your balance sheet, and you need to understand that we are just, you know, burning money. Like I was talking before the break about, you know, the GAO, the feds think that taxpayers loses, you know, $500 billion annually to fraud, you know, $2.7 trillion in improper payments from the Fed. CMS is saying that they're making $140+ billion in improper payments just in 2024 alone. So nobody's talking about that leak where all of this taxpayer money is just like leaking out. And they're so worried about, you know, reining in spending and reining in the taxes and allowing you to keep more of your hard-earned money, as we're just, you know, basically dumping it over the edge here. So it's, I got to tell you, you know, there's been people that have, you know, reached out to our office concerned about the Doge team and concerned about Eli, but I think that this couldn't have waited, you know, a month later. I mean, we needed to do this because this money is just flowing out like crazy, and we need to stop it. And even some of the things, because we've had a couple of meetings with Elon in Congress, and he's telling these horror stories about the SBA having $300 million in loans out to people that are 130 years or older, but of course they're never getting paid back. So, I mean, that's, I think somebody should go to jail for that. I mean, that's clearly fraud. And you look at that kind of stuff, or the fact that the Fed, for a vast majority of the checks that they've been sending out, don't have a memo or an authorization. So there's no way you can audit it to see if those payments made were legitimate or not. I mean, the whole thing is a mess, and we need to tighten up our fiscal house here, because, you know, that's what we ran on. That's what the voters want. That's what the people of Montana want. That's what the people of the United States of America want. They want to keep more of their money, and they don't want us wasting it.
Yeah, tough decisions got to be made. It's a $2 trillion deficit on top of a $36 trillion debt already. Let's go into the phone lines here. If you've got a quick question or a comment, give us a call, 406-294-0970. Jerry in Kalispell, thanks for the call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Hi there. How are you folks?
Doing great. Thank you.
I have a question. Like thousands of us in the Flathead Valley, we're having to deal with Logan Health. And one question I have, and hundreds of us have, they adamantly refuse us to give us itemized bills. They'll send us bills that say summary billing statement, but they're billing for doctors we've never seen, procedures we've never had, and
so
don't... Bill, our insurance companies.
So I've obviously I was the commissioner of insurance for the last 4 years for the state of Montana. So I've seen how a lot of this stuff works. But my understanding is you have a right to that information. And if they're not giving it to you, you should basically insist that they do. And if they continue to not do that, then you should reach out to either your insurance company, if this is an insured thing, or to the regulator to make sure that they're giving you that information. Because that is your data that you have a right to. And I strongly suggest you demand that.
Well, and that's a great point there by Jerry, too, because I know you've seen this, is certainly when you were Commissioner of Securities and Insurance as a state auditor for Montana, that we've got to figure out how to eliminate more of these middlemen in healthcare. You know, whether it's the PBMs from the pharmaceutical side or, you know, how do individuals, how can we pay cash, increase HSA opportunities, and then get a price ahead of time so that you can, you know, actually make healthcare more affordable.
And there's so many good ideas out there, and there's a lot of folks pushing for, you know, value-based pricing. So, you know, it disincentivizes doing procedures or tests that you don't really need to do. And so it basically says if you come in with tonsillitis, that, you know, is the value of treating that is X dollars. And they whatever the tests or treatment are is based on that. So there's a lot of talk about trying to find ways of reining in that spending through programs like that. And I think we need to continue having those conversations, because we're seeing in healthcare, we're seeing the prices go up. We're seeing the cost of pharmaceuticals going up like crazy. That's one of the biggest growth areas. And so, you know, obviously in Montana, we looked at the, you know, PBM industry, and that's something that's being talked about in D.C. as well, and how we can basically turn the lights on in that industry and make sure that people get value.
For somebody like Jerry in Kalispell, if she says, hey, I'm trying to get this information, they're not giving it to me, should she follow up with James Brown, the state auditor, or is there a federal agency she should follow up with?
I would start with the actual hospital and say, hey, I have a right to this, and you have a duty to give it to me, and run that up their flagpole. And if they continue to refuse, then I think you've got the ability to file a complaint.
All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you if you want to jump in on the conversation. Congressman Downing, so the Trump tax cuts, so why is there a delay? Why haven't they moved faster on just getting that across the finish line? What's the holdup?
Well, a big part is we need to get this through with very likely Republican-only votes. And so we need to make sure everything's on board, because we've got, you know, obviously the, you know, from the moderate to the, you know, far conservative side of the party that have different ideas on how much spending is reasonable, how many cuts are reasonable. And so we need to basically get on everybody on board so that we don't need votes from the other side. We need to get this through in reconciliation. So right now they're very carefully looking at how we can get that through and not have that 60-vote threshold in the Senate.
I saw some news earlier this morning here. Caroline Leavitt, the White House spokeswoman, the White House press secretary, was talking about major progress on a lot of these trade deals right now. The biggest one, I think, here was India. Vice President J.D. Vance.
Yeah, that just came up, yeah.
Yeah, that one just came up. India, the reason why that one in particular stands out to me, I think of our pulse crop producers in northeast Montana and then increasingly in the Golden Triangle. I think you got a son-in-law who's a farmer in the Golden Triangle.
And they produce pulse crops.
Yeah. So I don't know if we have the details on this yet, but a free trade deal with India could be huge for our pulse crop producers.
Yeah, I've seen the headlines on that. I haven't gotten any details. But I will tell you that Trump has, you know, one goal of just balancing trade. I mean, there's countries that have not been trading fairly with the United States of America. And so a lot of his policies there, you know, I like to think of it as the art of the deal. So it's, let me throw this out there to get somebody to the table. And that's how he got Mexico to start sending Border Patrol and start dealing with the, you know, narcotics epidemic coming in from the southern border. And, you know, obviously the people crossing illegally down there. You know, the other thing that I think is a really strong sign is, as you're looking at these trade policies, all of a sudden there's all these companies that are putting hundreds of billions of dollars in tens of thousands, if not more, American jobs back into the United States of America. From, you know, Apple investing another $500 billion in 20,000 American jobs in the U.S., OpenAI, Oracle, SoftBank, TSMC, Johnson & Johnson, Hyundai. These are all coming back to the United States, which is awesome for job creation. But it's also, as I'm sure you care about, as I do, is national security. We need to be manufacturing and producing in the United States of America and not be dependent on others. And so as the president works out his trade agreements, really what he's trying to do is get investment in the United States, get manufacturing in the United States, and to make sure that the countries that we're trading with are trading with us fairly.
All right. We got J.D. in Billings actually called in a message. I was seeing the phone line light up there, but J.D. just wanted to leave a message saying, I appreciate Mr. Downing's monthly town hall meetings. Thank you for your contributions. Yeah, those telephone town halls are fun. They're a lot like this.
Well, here's the thing is we've had in our last two town halls more participants than we can fit in the metro here. I mean, we've had our last one was over 10,000 participants. And to reach that many people, and we're taking all the questions, you know, that we have time for. We're taking the hard ones, we're taking the easy ones, and, you know, there's two parts of this. It allows me and my team to hear what Montanans are concerned about, and it allows us to respond to those concerns, and a lot of it is based on false narrative. You know, they've got a false narrative saying that something that they care about is being taken away that was never mentioned in the budget bills. It's not mentioned in our reconciliation process, and they're just jumping to a conclusion that you're taking something away. And, you know, we're looking for savings. And as we've already talked on, you know, this morning, there's a lot of room for savings and just rooting out, you know, just this wanton waste, fraud, and abuse.
All right. Bill in Miles City sent us a message on the Montana Talks app, and you can call in as well, 294-0970. Bill says this, Troy, how can we get FEMA flood insurance eliminated? I know there's people kind of across the district who are having challenges building or rebuilding.
And here's the thing is FEMA has been kicked, that can has been kicked down the road, I think close to 40 times already. Nobody's had the intestinal fortitude to really dig into it and see what's right. But I'll tell you, when I was the insurance commissioner, and that if that was a private flood program, I would have never authorized it in Montana. So we need to look at that, and we can talk about that more after the break.
Yeah, speaking of insurance, I mean, property taxes have been a big issue, obviously a state issue here in Montana, but what about homeowners insurance? Yeah. I'm hearing people saying, wow, that they're seeing just skyrocketing rates right now.
We could spend an hour on that.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
While in North Dakota yesterday, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins announced over $340 million in USDA disaster assistance to deliver relief to farmers, ranchers, and rural communities impacted by natural disasters that have caused devastation across the country. Rollins is delivering critical aid, she says, through USDA's Disaster Assistance Fund to provide immediate relief to communities that have waited too long for the assistance they need. Rollins added, USDA is ensuring they are doing everything they can to support state and local efforts to rebuild communities to be even stronger than before. In other news, U.S. ag production totaled $8.6 billion during March 2025. That's down 7% from last year. Production included over 7.3 billion table eggs and 1.2 billion hatching eggs, of which 1.18 billion were broiler type and 104 million were egg type. The average number of layers during March totaled over 351 million. That's down 8% from last year. March egg production per 100 layers was 2,458 eggs. That's up from March 2024. During March, national wholesale prices of eggs per truckload for white large shell eggs declined by 89 cents to $3.27 per dozen. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here. We got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. In fact, before I talk about homeowners insurance, let's jump right into the phone lines. We've got Ted south of Olney. Ted, good to hear from you. Did you have a quick question or comment for Congressman Downey?
Hey, I did, gentlemen. Thank you. I just wanted to follow up with a call that was made earlier about the difficulty in getting an itemized statement from the hospital. And I don't know if you followed it, but recently in the Montana legislature, there was a legislation put forward to increase transparency, disclosure, and pricing information by the medical organizations. And there was a massive turnout by the medical lobby and influencing our representatives and senators so that this legislation didn't pass. So it's difficult to combat this kind of hide-and-seek without the support of the people that are supposed to be representing us.
Boy, I hear that. In fact, there was a headline here. Ted, thanks for the call. There was a headline in the Montana Television Network, Hospitals Lobbying Frustrates Montana lawmakers who sought to boost oversight. I mean, look at and look at some of the crazy stuff, by the way, that the Montana Hospital Association, or at least the healthcare association lobby, has lobbied for in the past. Congressman Downey, you probably see it at the federal level sometimes,
well,
too.
I think the one thing we can expect and should demand in all things government is transparency. I mean, that was one of the things that we did with our pharmacy benefit manager bill that we got through about 4 years ago, is just turning the lights on, making sure people understand, you know, how drugs are being, you know, acquired from the manufacturing, what the rebates look like, what the spread pricing looks like. Make sure that you turn the lights on so people can make informed decisions, and so that businesses contracting with these businesses, so like the payer provider, you know, part, so that they understand, you know, the transparency of that. But I think that the one thing that we should all expect, especially with something as personal as your health records and health information and health building, is having complete transparency so that you understand exactly the services provided and exactly what was charged for that. I think that's a minimum that we should be demanding.
Any trips to El Salvador planned anytime soon?
Oh, my gosh. You know, that whole thing. You know, it's interesting because, you know, clearly this guy was here illegally. Clearly, he's part of MS-13. I think that we don't want people like that in the United States of America. You know, we don't want criminals that are crossing the border illegally. And MS-13, as you know, is almost a terrorist organization. I mean, they're a violent, you know, group with complete disregard to humanity. And what really I think is interesting is on the other side of the aisle, we've got both senators and members of Congress, members of the House, that are flying down there to, you know, talk to the government down there and potentially talk with this illegal alien down there. And it's just weird. What are you advocating for?
Well, that was a point I brought up earlier, which is like, okay, so EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin is talking about, apparently it's worse than it's ever been before, the toxic waste that's being, the sewage that's being put into the waters where our Navy SEALs train in California by Mexico.
That's a big issue.
There's apparently a veteran U.S. citizen who's being detained in Venezuela right now, and the family can't get their Democrat senators to take up their cause.
Right.
But all these Democrats want to travel to El Salvador to advocate for an illegal alien MS-13 gangbanger who beat up his wife and is accused of human trafficking.
Exactly. But here's one thing, and I shouldn't, you know, smile or gloat about this, but there's at least one Democrat member of my freshman class who has flown down there and said that she's not coming back until they release him. And I'm thinking, okay, we got a thin majority. Now we just got one more vote. So God bless her.
Well, who was it? I think it was Jesse Waters who was talking about how some Republicans are offering to pay for the trips for the Democrats to go down there. Actually, yeah, let me play this clip for you here. Let's see. Where was it at? Jesse Waters talking about the Democrats heading down to El Salvador. I think this is it. Here we go.
Will this administration continue to oversee the deportation of 400,000 people a year?
As long as Congress gives us the money to deport 400,000 people a year, that's what the administration is going to do. That's our obligation under the law. We will be strategic about how we do it. And the number of those folks who are either criminals or recent arrivals will continue to go up. But yes, this is our obligation under the law. We must enforce it, and we will do that.
Barack Obama drone-striked an American citizen overseas. What has more due process? Your president murdering you with a missile without a hearing, or your president flying an illegal alien home?
All right, and then he goes on to point out how, like, basically, the Democrat Party is so crazy right now, they don't even realize they're crazy.
Yeah.
And so that's why Republicans are offering to pay for their trips to El Salvador. In fact, I threw out the question, I think on X or something, maybe we should offer to pay the travel for these Montana Democrats that were at the AOC Bernie Sanders rally. And then Tim and Savage had a follow-up. Is this a one-way ticket or a round-trip ticket?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like I said in that one story of my freshman colleague from the other side of the aisle, she's staying down there until she gets him out. So, you know, God bless her.
That first soundbite, though, they said, you know, as long as Congress funds our efforts, we will keep doing it. Well, I guess I'm assuming you're all in on the funding support to make these deportations happen. But what are you hearing? When I last chatted with Governor Greg Gianforte, he said the estimate he got from the feds is that there's about 1,000 illegal aliens in Montana. What are you hearing about the effort to get them out of Montana, in particular from the ICE agents and others on the ground?
Right. Well, you know, what we've been doing in Congress is we haven't gotten to the, you know, spending part of that yet, but we have been passing a lot of laws dealing with immigration and dealing with the deportation of criminal illegal aliens. I mean, I'm sure you've talked to your listeners about the Laken Riley Act, and the Laken Riley Act is basically, you know, based on that horrible thing that happened to Laken Riley, obviously got murdered by an illegal alien. But it started out very narrowly focused on very specific types of crimes, and we've been slowly expanding that to, you know, include other types of crimes. So I have a bill in the hopper right now that I've introduced to expand that to, you know, property crimes. So, you know, if somebody commits an act of arson on your home and they're here illegally, they're taken, you know, custody by ICE, and they're put through the deportation process as it should be. And, you know, one of the things that was in your clip, you know, the obligation under the law. I mean, we need to do what the law states. We need to stick to the black and white of the law. We are a nation of laws. Finding the money to make sure that we're doing that's the next part of the conversation.
All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. And if you call in right now, we should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time, which is quickly escaping us here. Homeowners insurance. I know you were looking at this issue as state auditor and commissioner of securities and insurance. California really has created so many of these problems. I'm hearing from a lot of people. They're saying, holy cow, we've talked about property taxes in Montana, mm-hmm. but have you looked at your homeowner's insurance lately?
Well, here's a big part, and people need to understand this. I've said this before, probably on your show. It's directly correlated to inflation. The cost to replace a home has gone up. So those prices have gone up. The cost of labor, the cost of buying a stick of lumber, of buying an electrical junction, all that's gone up. And a lot of folks, think that $200,000 house that they bought, 40 years ago, is adequately insured for $200,000, where it may cost, $500 or $600 to replace it. And so the insurance sector is catching up with that, inflation of replacement costs. And so one of the things that we are focused on right now in Congress, as I talked to you about before, is cutting spending, reducing taxes, making sure that we, stoke the engine of the American economy, just like Trump did in his first term in office. And if we do that, that's going to start creating prosperity, start fighting inflation, and start bringing those costs down. Because the way that you're going to affect those costs in insurance is by bringing the replacement costs down. And I just want to mention something that you brought up about what's going on in California. They've completely decimated their market down there because they put artificial caps, and insurance is simple math. You've got the income from premiums, and it has to cover overhead and your obligations for losses, to pay for losses. And if those losses get more and more expensive, of course, the premium has to go up. And what California did is they put artificial caps on all of that, which basically the insurance companies had to make a decision. Am I going to continue operating in California at a loss, or am I going to take my business elsewhere? And so they started non-renewing, and their insurance market got tighter and tighter and tighter. And what happens with lack of competition? Prices go up, and that's exactly what they saw. And that's not something we saw in Montana, because we looked very closely at those premiums and the expenses for replacement, and made sure that we were balancing, is that excessive? Is it adequate? Is it illegally discriminatory? All the things, the tools that we had in our toolbox, to make sure we were doing the right thing to advocate for the consumers and make sure that industry could survive.
All right. She's in Alaska, but she's from Montana. Bernice, actually stand by, Bernice. I'm hearing the music, so we got to take a quick break here. But Bernice, you will be first up right after the break. Then we've got Chris in Missoula, and then we'll see right after that. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk with one of your congressmen today as well. Town Hall, there we go. I'll check the messages during the break as well.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we had several folks call in here, so let's do a lightning round of some callers, and then we'll have Congressman Troy Downing address them all after that. First up, Bernice from Montana, but in Alaska. Bernice, did you have a quick question or comment?
I do, and I may have missed it earlier in your program as I tuned in a little bit late, but how does the fact that a lot of our illegal aliens in Montana are sitting on our Indian reservations affect ICE and any other government agency that go in and apprehend these guys? Does it make it more difficult, or I don't know? That's where so many of them are.
Well, the drug cartels in Trinidad Aragua have been targeting our reservations. Great question. We'll hold that. Bernice, thanks for the call. We'll get Congressman Downing's take on that in just a second. Chris in Missoula next up. Chris, what's your thoughts? Quick question or comment?
Quick question about illegal aliens. What if we suspect that we have some living next door to us, or we know we're some go to work. Is there a tip line, or is there someone we call to get ICE involved to make sure that they can take care of them and get them back to where they're from?
Great question. I know we've got the answer for you. We'll give you that one in just a second as well. Next up, let's go to Mike in Bozeman. Mike, did you have a quick question or comment?
I do. I just hope that the congressman could address the growing sense of frustration and the lack of urgency to get some of these things done. I think the GOP has a short window to codify many of these things. And there's a lot of us out here that are really becoming concerned that it's business as usual.
So, yeah, the urgency in getting all these things done, whether it's implementing the DOGE government spending efficiencies, et cetera. All right, Congressman Downing, where do you want to start?
Well, I'm just going to start going down the line with Bernice on law enforcement on Indian reservations. I mean, that's a huge issue because of the the sovereignty issues and the jurisdictional issues. But I've been meeting with all of our tribal communities to try to figure out how we can solve some of these problems with their Bureau of Indian Affairs. Law enforcement they have in having agreements to work with county and state and other agencies. And one of the biggest problems that they have there is they don't have the authority to hold somebody with if they're not Indian enrolled members. And so a lot of times they just don't even bother. And the cartels have found that that's an easy way for them to skirt, jurisdictional law enforcement. And so that's something that we're looking at very closely on how we can solve that problem on, law enforcement in Indian land and having agreements so that other law enforcement agencies, can cooperate with them. Because it's not just hurting the reservations. They're bleeding into, other towns in Montana. So that's something we're looking at really carefully. And if you suspect somebody is an illegal criminal, I mean, call your law enforcement. Make sure that you are reaching out to your state and federal agencies to see what can be done about that. But I want to spend some time on that last thing, this growing frustration on getting things done. I'm going to tell you, even though you're not saying the work that's happening in Congress, we are working hard. And these CRAs that we've been doing, these Congressional Review Acts, we've been just hitting those. We've had floor votes on those that are becoming law, which is undoing a lot of the rulemaking that the previous administration did, at the midnight hour to disadvantage us. So those are moving through. They're not big headline makers, but we're getting those through. And what we are doing right now, we're working very, very close with the administration on his executive orders and how we can codify those in law. And our biggest opportunity there, because it doesn't require a supermajority, it doesn't require 60 votes in the Senate, is to do this through the reconciliation process. And that is something that we are working on very hard right now, to bring in spending, to renew those tax cuts, and not just renew them, but to make them permanent. All those big ticket items are what is front and center on our agenda, and we are up to our eyeballs in that Monday morning when everybody's back in Congress. But I'll tell you, even though it's not making headlines, even though it may seem like things are moving slower than everybody wants, this work is happening. And the needle that we have to thread is to make sure that we can get this through the Senate. Because
got a bare Senate majority there.
Well, why are you working on a bill that's never going to become law if you can't get through the Senate? So we need to make sure we can get everything that we can through reconciliation, and then
Let me also add to Chris in Missoula, there's an ICE tip line. If you go to ice.gov/tip line, there's an 866 number. There's also a website where you can fill out a tip right there.
Highly
recommend that. Sidebar, how many Native Americans have been deported?
Zero.
Zero. Remember when the fake news media was running with that fake news narrative? Oh, for pizza.
Well, I got to tell you, we've been working a lot in Indian country, and I'm really proud of the work we've done there, from the Crow Revenue Act to dealing with the Milk River Watershed and the St. Mary Siphon up there with Fort Belknap. We've got great relationships there of trying to, solve problems that are meaningful, not just in Indian country, but also, fall over to the rest of the districts. I'm really proud of the work we've been doing there.
And I hear that the construction crews are doing a great job getting the St. Mary's Irrigation Project rebuild going, but it's going to be tough that we're going to miss out on a lot of water for those irrigators.
That's a huge issue. Like you mentioned, it's not just Fort Belknap. It's those highline irrigators that depend on that. And again, we need to make sure that we continue to grow food. And those farmers can't suffer not being able to produce for a season. They go bankrupt, and we've lost that farm forever.
And it makes you wonder if they lose out on a key time period of irrigation water this season, could disaster relief or something make up for it potentially?
Always that potential. But right now, let's just solve the problem at hand and make sure that our farmers do exactly what they're good at, producing food and feeding the world.
All right, Congressman Downing, great to have you in the studio.
That went great.
Katie, it went by fast. Katie and Helena, sorry we ran out of time, but great to have you.